Glad that you're here this morning. We obviously have some of our church family who are away on spring break. And wouldn't you like to be wherever they are? We're glad that you're able to be here, especially those who are our guests. You've come our way, and perhaps spring break is what brought you. And so we're very pleased to have you. It's always a joy to come together and to worship God. We have a saying, if you're not growing, you're dying. So we certainly want to always be growing, improving ourselves spiritually. We want to do that as well. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 talks about those who are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And he says, that shouldn't be said of you. Rather, Ephesians 4 verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by what every joint supplies. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We start and we end with love there. Paul earlier in Ephesians 1, verse 22, had identified Jesus as the head of his church. And now he says we are to grow up into the head and all aspects into Jesus. He, our Lord, epitomized what it means to be a child of God. The Son of God paved the way for us, blazed the trail so that we could know what it is to be a true son or daughter of God. And for a few minutes this morning, I would like to make some suggestions that will help us to grow. Because if you're not growing, you're going backwards. You're dying spiritually. It's amazing sometimes when you go back to a subject that you knew so well and you're reviewing it. Maybe you're teaching it to a child or a grandchild. It's, oh yeah, I know this math equation, and oh my, I don't remember any of it now. What you don't use, you lose. So it is spiritually. When we don't exercise those spiritual muscles. For a few minutes, let's think about some ways that we can grow spiritually. I want to suggest to you, first of all, we need to learn from the people in this book. They have been given to us as an example. Again, Jesus is the ultimate example. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, he has left us an example that we should follow in his steps. But there are many other godly men and women, and I'll remind you very quickly of a handful of these. Abraham, a great man of faith who walked with God for half a century. Throughout his life, he was growing closer and closer to God. At one point in Genesis 17, verse 1, God said, walk beside me. Walk in my presence. And eventually, that man would grow in his faith so much that he was even willing to take God at his word and sacrifice his own son. Now, thankfully, he didn't have to. You know the story of Abraham and the near sacrifice of Isaac. But if God had started out in his relationship with Abraham and asked him to do that, I know Abraham would not have had that kind of faith. This was the son of promise that he had been told he would have. At the age of 75, Abraham was told, you're going to have a son. He would not hold that son in his hands until he was 100 years old, 25 years. And then God says, take that son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him. They were on the cusp of that here, the birth of Isaac in chapter 17, verse 1. Abraham was 99 years old. For 24 years, God had been promising him a son. And he appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me. Be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Was Abraham perfect? Far from it. As you know, he had several lapses of faith, but he was a man who walked blamelessly as he could before God, trusted him. And of course, we know him as a great hero of faith. That's a great Bible character, isn't he? What we call these characters, not because they're fictitious stories. We don't believe that at all. Rather, there's a lot of conflict and exciting detail. It's a story that is being told to us, a narrative. And Abraham is very fun to study. Another great character in the Bible is Moses, a man who had a lot of ups and downs as well. But what an incredible, great man of faith he was. Started out trying to do things his way in Egypt, knocked some heads together, killed an Egyptian. In the end, he would be God's great lawgiver, wouldn't he? He would grow so close to God that it is said of him at the end of his life, in the book of Deuteronomy, that he was one who talked to God face to face. That's the closeness that Moses had with the Lord. It also tells us that there will one day be a prophet like Moses who will come. Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18 is quoted and applied to Jesus, who is the ultimate representation of God. He is God, and he came and dwelled among us. And he also, like Moses, gave a law, the law that we are a part of today. Jesus is that second Moses who was far greater than the original Moses. We keep going to Jesus, don't we? Keep talking about him. Well, there's another great Bible character from the Old Testament that you know well, David. And concerning David, I will mention to you that he was far from perfect. And yet he is called the one who was going to do the Father's will, do God's will. A man after God's own heart. That's cited in 1 Samuel when he's anointed as king. And then Paul cites that in Acts 13. And he says that this is a man after my own heart who will do my will. You want to be a man or woman of God? Have a heart for doing God's will. That's what he wants. And again, we point to Jesus, who came to do the will of the Father. He said that repeatedly. It's not my will, your will that must be done. Jesus taking on that submissive role, dying on the cross of Calvary. Another great hero of faith, Elijah. He is the one who, at the very end of our Old Testaments in Malachi, he's the one that's told he's coming. Elijah's going to come. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers before the great day of the Lord comes. And this also points to Jesus, because Elijah is the one who's going to be preparing people for the coming of the Lord. And we know that ultimately applies to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, who was pointing people to the Lord. What a great honor this was that Elijah, of all the prophets, was the one who was identified as being anticipated by John the Baptist. This man, a great prophet who had many ups and downs in his own life. We could go on and on talking about these Old Testament Bible characters and New Testament characters, quite frankly, we could add to that. But let me bring it a little closer to home for just a moment. I want you to think also this morning. Some suggestions for spiritual growth include also learning from people right here. You want to have a better marriage? There are people who have been married to each other for 45, 50, 60 years in this congregation. Happily married. It's one thing to just stay married. It's another thing to actually be in love all that time. You want a better marriage? Seek out some of those folks. They're right here. Just last night, we had our singing at our house, and we were sitting there with Brandon and Miranda, and they were starting to tell us the same story. You know how husbands and wives are. They start interrupting each other and finishing it. And very quickly, Brandon said, "You go ahead, dear. You go ahead. You're learning. That's right. That's what you're supposed to do to have a happy marriage." Seriously, we need to learn from each other. And not just how to do well in our marriages, but just how to face turmoil and difficulty in our lives. Do you realize how many passages there are in the New Testament that speak about the importance of an example? Twice Paul said to his young protege preachers, Timothy and Titus, he said that you are to be an example. in so many aspects, he says, in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. People need to, in 1 Timothy 4, those closing verses of chapter 4, he says that people need to see your growth. It needs to be evident to others that you are, in fact, growing in your ability, in your love for the Lord. And again, also to Titus, Paul said, be a model to others. Be an example of good works. And that word good works, that concept keeps appearing again and again in the book of Titus. Also, not just to preachers, but to all of us, we are to be an example. Paul talks about himself and his co-workers, Timothy and Silas and others who were examples to the Christians in Philippi. And he says, you need to imitate us as we imitate the Lord. And you also need to be follow our example so that others can see how you act and what you're supposed to do. Elders in the church are to be an example to the flock. They don't just rule the congregation. They lead the congregation. You are shepherds. We are sheep following shepherds. And shepherds don't drive sheep. They're not behind them saying, on Prancer, on Dancer. They don't lead that way. They walk in front of them. Did you know that? I'm not a shepherd or the son of a shepherd, but sheep are led. They hear the voice of the shepherd. We're following your example, elders. And we're watching and we're benefiting by the example that you have led for us and continue to. What we learn how to be better Christians because we see people who have been there and who have done that and they help us. I want to suggest to you, if you want to grow spiritually, thirdly this morning, consider becoming a prayer warrior. And that goes back to what we were just talking about. There are people in this congregation that you hear come to the front and they lead prayers and they're beautiful. They're powerful. You want to be a better prayer? You want to lead a better prayer? Privately as well as publicly, seek out some of these folks. I love to hear Ronnie again and again in his prayer say, help us, as he honestly and very passionately beseeches God and says, I need your help. I love hearing the prayers, and I don't want to single anyone else out because I'll embarrass them. But we have some wonderful men who lead great prayers. It's obvious to me. They're in communication with God on a regular basis as they speak to Him. And so we were reading a little while ago from Ephesians 6, it says that we are to be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. That keeps repeating words there about prayer. We need to be praying all the time. We need to be praying passionately, fervently. Jesus, our Lord, gives us that ultimate example. He would often slip away to pray, spending all night in prayer. We need to be in constant communication with God. You remember Paul, at the close of 1 Thessalonians 5, he said that we are to pray without ceasing. Jesus, our Lord, in the model prayer, he says that we should pray not to be seen by men. That's what the Pharisees did. They wanted everybody to see how holy and righteous they were. And Jesus says, don't do that. Just go home in your closet, close the door, and pray to God, and He will reward you. It's not about what other people think. It's about you and God and your relationship with Him. If you want to grow, don't worry about what other people think of you. You need to worry about what God thinks of you. As you strive to improve, I hope that this will be a good, helpful suggestion. You need to pray fervently, daily, all the time. Be in constant communication with your Father. I want to suggest to you also this morning, as you strive to grow spiritually, that you read your Bible daily. We try to encourage that here at Eastside. We have a Bible reading plan, and I know that you have many others that you have access to. But you remember the words of the Psalms. In Psalm 1, for example, it talks about the tree that is planted by rivers of water. And that river is God's Word. We are placing our roots deep within God, and we have that firm relationship with Him. So, Because we meditate on God's Word day and night, Psalm 1 says, we're going to be like that tree planted by rivers of water, which in times of drought, it's not afraid because it knows it's always going to have that strong nourishment from God. When bad things happen to you in your life, you already have a rock-solid relationship with the Lord. Can you say along with Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your law, your teaching. It is my meditation all the day. We have a song that says that. We need to be living that. It needs to just be part of the fabric of who we are. If you don't read your Bible, oh no, I'm missing a part of me. How convenient is it that we have God's Word so easily accessible on our little computers called phones, our smartphones? Read God's Word. I want to encourage you. I really hope that you will do that. And sometimes we lose our phones, we lose our little devices like these. But we need to be people who are attached to God's Word. I remember hearing an illustration back when phones weren't quite as attached to us. And people would talk about, if you left your phone at the church building, would you drive back and get it? What if you left your Bible at the church building? Oh, no, I left my Bible. And sometimes it's one and the same. Are we reading God's Word, making it a part of who we are? It's a habit. I know there's a big difference between reading and studying. But I want to encourage you to just expose yourself to God's Word. It's amazing. And I know that you can testify to this. But as you just start reading passages, thoughts will come to your mind. And situations that occur that week or that month, you'll be thinking about the passages that you just read. And that's because God's Word is so applicable in every aspect of life. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil? What did he do? How did he confront the devil? He quoted Scripture. Do you think that there's some lesson there for us? When we are facing temptation, God's Word is going to help us to be able to find that way of escape. The wisdom that is expressed throughout the pages of God's Word will be able to give us the growth, the spiritual growth that we need, so that we can always be able to do what God wants us to do as His children. God's Word, it runs counter to culture. It doesn't say what 21st century America says that we should do and how we should act. It says this is God's standard. This is the way it's always been. We need to be going to this book, reading it, living it. If you want to grow spiritually, you need to be a daily Bible reader. I want to encourage you to do that. Also, along this line, I want to encourage you not to miss this assembly right here. It was at the close of the, I believe it was the last lesson I preached. Was it Sunday night? On the assembly. We read from Hebrews 10, 22 through 25. Verses that yes, they speak of the importance of attendance. But why? Because we're here to encourage each other, to edify one another, to embolden one another, to go out into the world and serve faithfully. We need these assemblies. We need these times to worship, to focus on our relationship with God, but also to fellowship with each other. We help one another as we make our way from earth to heaven together. God designed it this way. And so when we meet tonight, Wednesday night, I want to encourage you to be part of that worship assembly, if at all possible. We need to be part of this congregation. Very quickly, what I like to do is go over some disciplines, we'll call them, disciplines of spiritual growth. They all start with S. Here they all are. Simplify, silence, solitude, surrender. We'll go over these and then the lesson will be yours. What do these mean? What are we talking about here? Simplify. We live in a very complex world. It just gets crazier and crazier, doesn't it? And so we find ourselves wishing that we had prayed today, wanting to read God's Word and spend time in it, but we didn't. because we were so distracted. I wonder how pleased the Lord would be if he were able to pick up our planner to see what is in our print planner, if anybody uses those anymore, or our phone calendar, and say, where am I? Where do you have me slotted in here? And so Jesus always took time to focus on what was spiritual. And so do we. You remember Martha, who was distracted, the text says in Luke 10, verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving. She was complaining because her sister was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's not something the women were typically going to be doing. The men did that. But Mary, what did Jesus say? Did he condemn Mary? No, instead he gently chided Martha. Lord, do you not know that my sister Mary has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Luke 10, 40 through 42. Jesus knew what was most important. Do we? Our relationship with God. When the bottom falls out in our life, and it will, when it rains and pours, you need to have that rock solid relationship with the Lord intact. As wisdom says, when you try to find me, when you try to find help in time of trouble, you won't. Because you squander the opportunity to grow and build that foundation. And you will not have the Lord there to help you. Simplify your life. Sometimes we just get so busy and distracted. And Jesus says, one thing is needful. Our love for the Lord. That's what's most important. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not that all the cares and concerns of this life aren't important. They're in Matthew 6, 25 through 33. But what's most important is that we seek first the kingdom of God. Here's another discipline that I think will help us in our growth. Not just simplifying our lives, keeping what's really important at the forefront. But also we need times of silence. Like right now. Here we are in this wonderful place of worship. And there are times when we study passages, when we engage in worship, and it takes our breath away. At least it should. This isn't just some ritual that we're going through. It shouldn't be anyway. This is a time of reflection. It's a time of introspection. One verse I think of is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 15, where Paul is talking about popping a check in the collection plate. He's talking about giving of our means, but he doesn't emphasize money. 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, chapters 8 and 9, he's been talking about the grace of God and how God has given us so much. And this is how he ends it. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable, inexpressible gift. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. He spent two chapters talking about giving, but he emphasized God's grace, his mercy, and how much he has lavished on us spiritually. That's why we love the Lord, because he has done so much for us. Do we reflect on that? Do we just think about him? Do we really appreciate the grace of God? I hope this week we will take times to thank him for his indescribable gift of love and mercy in Jesus our Lord. Also, consider another S, solitude. I already mentioned to you how Jesus would often slip away to pray. That's mentioned in Luke 6 and verse 15. Luke 6, verse 15. When he was tired, when he was distracted, what did Jesus do? He slipped away to pray. I said Luke 6, 15. That's Luke chapter 5. Jesus, our Lord, would often go and just find a place of quiet and solitude. In fact, the Gospel of Luke emphasizes the prayer life of Jesus, and it's really quite marvelous. Before he chose his 12 apostles, he famously spent the whole night in prayer, and that's here in Luke chapter 6. He spent all night. Why? He knew who he was going to pick. He's God. One of the people he picked, you remember, was Judas. Of all people, why did the Lord pick him if he knew he was going to betray him? Maybe that was part of his prayer to help him to do that. Jesus loved people, but sometimes he just needed to get away and have that time of solitude with his Father. And I want to suggest to you, we do too. We need that time to just focus on our relationship with God. And finally, a fourth discipline, surrender. We sing this song, I surrender all. Do we really mean it, though? Do we really surrender everything to God? Maybe we should change the words to be more an accurate representation of our lives. I surrender some. I surrender most. But there's some things in my life I don't want you chiding me about, Lord. That concept of surrendering all really speaks to the trust. Do we really trust God? Do we believe that if we follow Him totally and completely, He will take care of us? He will provide for us? Because God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible, though. That's not a saying from God's Word. Yes, we need to work. We need to prepare. We need to plan. But all of that could come to a screeching halt. We need to remember that God is there to help us, to provide for us, if we will but trust Him and truly surrender our hearts and our lives to Him, to know He will help us. That's spiritually strong. When we stop worrying about the letter of the law, just making sure that we do all that's required of us, got to go to church, got to partake of the Lord's Supper, got to give Him my means, and we begin to realize that it's about a relationship. We're in a relationship with the Lord. The church isn't some institution. It's a connection that we have in Christ because we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and we're living for Him, and we're growing in Him. We're growing into the head in every way, every aspect of His life. And if you're here this morning and you know that you're not growing spiritually, now is the time for you to commit to Him. I know we're in March. Sometimes we have our New Year's resolutions. I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to be a better prayer. I'm going to put my trust in God totally and completely. The list goes on of the spiritual goals that we have. Don't worry about the calendar. Worry about right now. Where are you spiritually? Are you growing? Because if you're not, you're dying. And we want to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. If you've never named Him as Savior, this invitation that we're about to sing, this song, I hope will also encourage you to make your way to the front right now. Let's stand. Let's sing.